What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to another edition of the Bad Podcast. Brad and Dwayne in the building. Brad, my brother, how we doing today, man? How you feeling?
Man, blessed. You know, it's every day that you wake up and you put your 2 feet on the ground and you just tell yourself, man, I'm alive. And then you got to go out there and take action like you're alive. So I'm excited to talk about the preparation phase, a couple of hacks with a special guest. We'll get into it, though.
We'll get into it now. Let's go.
Hey, good job, guys. Good job. Mental battles. Mental battles.
Hey, man. Eat your meal for life, baby.
Hey, man. So this is the first time that I've ever been on here solo, and Dwayne always does like a really good introduction. So I'm just going to kind of wing this, man. And I want to take 15 to 20 minutes of your time. First and foremost, can you introduce yourself and just tell us about yourself and why you're here today?
Yeah, my name is Brett Albers. I'm the operating partner of Fleet Feet in Charlotte, North Carolina. I oversee a couple locations in that market. Yeah, and I'm here to talk about what we do at Fleet Feet and how we can prepare you to be the best runner you can be and across that finish line with joy. So
yeah, man, I'm gonna take it all the way back to 2012 when I did my first half marathon. Okay, I'm gonna rewind right here and blast from the past, Buffalo, New York. And actually, I'm gonna back it up even a year further at 2011 mm-hmm. when my brother told me he was gonna do a half Ironman. A lot of people have heard this story. I don't know if you have, but he said he was gonna do a half marathon. And when he told me that, first and foremost, I laughed and I said, there's absolutely no way. Like, that's just not in our cards. We're not runners, you know? So, but he trained and he properly prepared himself, got himself out there, and he crushed it. He did an hour and 50 minutes, hour and 49 minutes, something like that.
Wow.
So as soon as he crossed the finish line, I'm like, well, the bar has been set, you know, and that's how my brother and I roll. He sets the bar. I raise the bar. I set the bar. He raised, you know, and so on and so forth.
Right.
And so when I trained for my first half marathon, I went out, I bought a pair of Nike shoes, man. They were styling and profiling. They felt good. But it's one of those things, you don't know what you don't know, right?
Right.
And I talked to you a little bit when I was in Charlotte a handful of months ago, yeah, about being a Brooks supporter. I love my Brooks. They got me to a lot of finish lines. But again, you don't know what you don't know. And I got in, I got to talk to you. And so the first thing that I want to talk about today is assessments, evaluation, getting in and seeing somebody that's a professional in the field that can tell you, hey, that shoe may not be the best for you. So assessments, evaluation, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, assessments and a fit process has been a part of the running industry, you know, as long as I've been a part of it. There's always been, you know, that expertise that a local running store can provide mm-hmm. that you can't get elsewhere. And, you know, it goes all the way back to, you know, using the Brannick device, which is a metal device you would use when you were a kid to measure your feet. And up to now, where we use our Fit ID technology, which is a 3D scanner, and our pressure mat that shows how your foot moves and gives you an analysis of your gait. And so what that does, our fit process at Fleet Feet does, it allows us to show you how we see your feet. And so as an expert, I can look at your gait and your foot type and make certain sort of recommendations and assessments. By getting the data from a 3D scanner and the data from the gait analysis on the pressure mat allows us to like take that information and present it in a way that you can learn about your feet in a way that we can't normally figure it out. And so it kind of clears away all of the bias and all of the preferences that you might have or that the misconceptions or opinions you have about certain shoes or products, and really dials it down to, okay, what's going to work for your foot and your product. Mm-hmm. And you know, that helps kind of clear out a lot of the mystery, you know, because we've all heard recommendations from our friends to say, oh, I love Brooks or I love Hoka. And then you go out and try the shoe on and it doesn't quite work the way they say it does, but that's because every foot's a little different. Mm-hmm. And so personalizing that fit, having someone sit down and really talk about your history, talk about your aches and pains, what your goals are, and being able to kind of match that personal information with the data provided, gives us an opportunity to dial in a pair of shoes or insoles or a combination thereof that is going to help you be more successful and run without pain.
Well, I remember the metal device. What do you call that again?
A Brannick device.
Brannick device. Yeah. Man, I remember getting my feet in there and they narrow it down. And man, that's kind of archaic now. So I was in the Fleet Feet store, I don't know, a couple months ago, we'll say, you ran me through the assessment, man. And I'll tell you what an experience, because you know, you hit that mat and it tells you right there on the screen, this is the shoe or ballpark. These are the types of shoes that you want to run in. Right. And like I said, like I always ran in Brooks and like, I didn't know, like the Brooks were a step up from my Nikes. No doubt.
Sure.
I remember crossing the finish line in 2019 with a pair of used Nikes that I just pulled off the shelf and my hips, my knees, my ankles, my back, like everything from the head down to the toes was terribly sore. And then I was just, you got to wisen up in those moments. So I wisened up, I went out and got a nice pair of Brooks. But I would have never have known without coming in, talking to you and, you know, getting that proper assessment in the Carhu's. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, that's Carhu.
All right. Very good. Cause, so here's a neat little story. So I like to promote for my guy, Brett here. And I like to promote a product that works for me. So I've been running in my Carhu's in my treadmill class and I've been pushing those suckers.
Yeah.
And I've had at least 10 people post on social media saying, I got my Carhu's cause Brett.
Yep.
But I hope people aren't taking my word and saying Carhu's are my shoe, right? This is my journey. This is my shoe. I hope they're getting in to see that, you know, see it firsthand. This is the shoe for you. It might be a pair of a pair of Hoka. It might be a pair of Brooks. So I hope they're getting in there and getting that assessment. And one of the things that you brought to my attention, and this is something that I took seriously during my Ironman, because you're on the road forever, it seems.
Right.
Inserts, the insoles. And you would ask, have you ever tried insoles? I'm talking game changer, because
they are.
What are the insoles that come with the shoe? A piece of paper? I don't know,
it's
man.
It's a piece of foam.
Yeah.
It's there to protect your feet from the seams and that's it. So
yeah, it's a glorified sock. So let's talk about inserts, man. And I want to talk about what you what you promote, what you believe in, what you support. I want to hear it all about it.
I think there's a couple things to look at with inserts. You know, that's a category that there's a ton of options out there, whether you see it on social media or in the drugstore or whatever your doctor promotes. Mm-hmm. As far as running shoes go, there's really two brands of insoles that kind of sit above the rest. Superfeet is one and Curex is the other. And the reason both of those sort of have their spot in the running industry is because of their ability to provide this biomechanical personalized support in a running shoe without impacting the comfort in a negative way or the sizing. And so as part of that fit process we do, what we can also see is the three-dimensional shape of your foot. And often what an insole can do is help us fill that negative space between your foot and the shoe, provide a personalized sort of solution. And what it helps do is sort of act like guardrails for your foot. And so the way I see it is, you know, a real simple analogy would be like, you know, if you're bowling and you're constantly hitting the gutters, you know, it might be that you want to use like bumpers in there. And so maybe not, you know, it's not going to correct or make you a better bowler per se, but it is going to help kind of keep you from hitting the extremes. And so, you know, not to say that it's only something that you would wear if you're new to running. There's a benefit for any runner to use an insole like that. But the physical benefit of it is it keeps the foot from doing anything too extreme. And so if you have a lot of flexibility of the arch, a lot of movement of the foot, an insole can kind of reduce that. If you have a really rigid foot or one that needs a bit more shock absorption, the insole can provide some 3D shape and natural shock absorption. And it helps sort of enhance the fit of the shoe to reduce and prevent injury. Mm-hmm. And so I'd say 30 to 40% of folks that come and shop with us will end up buying or trying an insole. And you know, it's not something that 100% of people are going to use, but there's a large majority of people that are going to benefit from it.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, thanks for calling out my bowling game, but hey, we're just going to ignore the fact that you call me out on the hardwood. No, man, I support wholeheartedly inserts, insoles,
right.
because, you know, it literally took my game from here to here, you know, and you can tell the difference. Like, you get a good pair of run shoes, it feels like you're running on clouds. You get a good pair of run shoes, and then you put a good pair of inserts in them suckers, I'm telling you, oh my goodness, the journey is made for you.
We get these light bulb moments where I'll be fitting a customer for a pair of shoes, and they're like, oh, I like this shoe the best. And then I put an insole in it, and you see their eyes light up in a way that like you just can't capture. And they go, oh, that's it. And it's like, and in that moment, you can feel that they feel confident. Like, oh, I'm going to take this out, and I'm going to achieve my goals.
Yeah.
And so that's where our fit process and products like insoles and good shoes can help really dial in and provide people that confidence that like, hey, I don't have to worry about the gear I have. I know that's going to work for me. I just need to go out and try. I can go out and put the effort out on the road. So
I love what you said there. You know, it's that thinking process, because when you're doing a race, the last thing you want to worry about is your shoes, your inserts, your socks, your shorts. There's plenty of things to worry about. There's plenty of tricks your mind will play on you that day. And if you can take, you know, the thinking process out of what's on your feet and what you're running in, like that's a huge game changer. And then, okay, so we talked about assessment. We talked about insoles. We talked about, and I want to talk about shoes next.
Sure.
When you think of a good running shoe, if we can't get to a fleet feet, what are some tips and tricks to get me in the right running shoe?
I think if you're unable to go somewhere and get sized, and I would say that, like, if you're not near a fleet feet, I would say go to another running specialty store if that's what's close to you as well, anywhere where they can size and measure your foot. That's sort of step one. And so having your feet measured so that you can ensure that you have the right size shoe is usually the biggest hurdle for people who are new to running. I'll tell a story. When I started in this industry, I've been a runner all through youth, high school, college. And I show up my first day at Fleet Feet, and they take me through a fit process as part of the training. And they go, Brett, what size do you wear? And go, oh, I'm a 9. And they said, well, Brett, you're really like a 10.5. And it didn't click with me. I was like, oh, I never really thought about it. I just wore these small shoes and thought that's how they fit. And so a large majority of the folks we see that come in that haven't been running before or haven't been properly sized, they're wearing too small of a shoe, or in some cases too big of a shoe to accommodate other issues. And so the size is like the key first step. You've got to make sure that the shoe matches the shape of the foot. It can't be too narrow, can't be too wide, too short, too long. And so if you can dial in the size, that eliminates like a large majority of the issues. Yeah. And so a good rule of thumb there would be literally to follow the rule of thumb. And that's to have about the width of a thumbnail between your toe and the end of the shoe. And in most cases, that's going to be, okay, if I wear a casual shoe, I might go up a half size, you know? And so, you know, that's a good thing to think about there. So aside from that, you know, some of the other features to think about are just the quality and construction of the footwear. You know, you want shoes that are going to have enough cushion and enough structure to resist that impact. If the shoe is too flexible or made with materials that aren't high quality for running, you know, it's not going to hold up for you. So if you go out and buy a shoe that's designed for basketball or a shoe that's designed for casual wear and try to run in it, it's just not going to perform well. And so for most brands, that's going to be a price point in the range of about $140 and up is where you get into a technical running shoe. And then from there, comfort is king. You know, if you try the shoe on and you test it out and you have an opportunity to run around or walk around and a certain shoe fits and feels more comfortable than another, that more comfortable shoe is usually going to be the one that performs best for you.
Yeah. It's funny because when you talk about fitting, man, I did the same thing, man. I'm like, I walk in, I'm like, I'll take 11. You know, you get on Dix.com or Amazon and I'll take the size 11. And again, you don't know what you don't know. So like you get that shoe, you put it on, you're like, yeah, that feels good. Mm-hmm. And I remember coming into you because my car hoes are 12s and I don't wear a size 12. I don't wear a size 12, but those are the ones that fit better. And you even went to 12.5 and they felt decent. We had to dial it back, but still 12 is a whole size above what I normally wear. And my wife always picks on me because she's like, you don't even know what shoe size you wear. I'm like, It depends if it's Nike or Hoka or Brooks.
Just a number on a box, you know. Yeah. At the end of the day.
Yeah, it's crazy though, because that's where a lot of people will cut corners is shoes, and that's one place, that's one area you cannot cut corners, because that's where the journey starts. I mean, you're pounding on the pavement, you're pounding on the treadmill, like that's where the journey begins, is your feet, man. You can't cut corners with the feet.
Think about it, like you can't expect to get a good night's sleep if you're sleeping on a bad mattress. Mm. You can't expect for your car to drive well if you're driving on old tires.
Yeah.
You know, the things between you and the ground are going to be the difference maker. So,
yeah, dude, I was in college and, you know, man, I was on the college budget. Ramen noodles, water, ramen noodles, water. But I wanted to adventure into that, that fitness space of doing long distances. And I was training for a 5K at the time. This was prior to me doing a half marathon. I went to Walmart and got a pair of starter shoes. I went out for it was a mile run, maybe a mile and a half or something. And when I got home, the bottom of my shoes was like, I mean, they were torn and tattered. It looked like I just went to battle with them suckers, man. And it does make a difference. And, where the journey begins is the bottom of those shoes. Mm-hmm. But what if I make the mistake of going out and getting a shoe that doesn't fit me? I start experiencing knee pain, ankle pain, hip pain. What are some precautionary things I can do to minimize that, or take care of that, remedy that?
I think, you know, you can go back to some of the tips I give any new runner, is that, you know, really take a look at how much you're increasing week over week. You know, the rule I've always followed is, like, you don't want to add more than 10% mileage week over week, unless you're really, really careful about it. And so one of the more common reasons people get injured is because they do too much too quickly. They get excited, they want to go out, and they try to do it all in the first week. So really watching how much you're increasing each week and running in. I think if the shoes really aren't working out for you, you know whether or not the place you bought it from have a return policy. You know, we at Fleet Feet have our 60-day happy fit guarantee. So if you shop at a Fleet Feet and you're running them for a couple of weeks and you hate the way it fits, we're going to stand behind trying to get you in the right shoe. And sometimes that's what it takes. It might take a visit to come back and reevaluate where we exchange or return those shoes. But the other thoughts to think about are there's other factors that can help prevent injury, especially during hotter months like this. Is your hydration, your fluid intake matters. Mm-hmm. And one of the more common root causes of muscular injuries is going to be dehydration, because you think about if your muscle is supple and has enough hydration in it, it's going to be more elastic. If you're dried out, that muscle tears more easily, because it's like pulling on dried steak, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's something to consider there. And then, properly warming up before you run is important. I tell folks, get out there and do dynamic warmups, get your body moving in a way before you start running. Don't just run right out the front door, and then give yourself time to recover. You know, I always say, hey, if you're hurting and you need to take a couple of days off, you're not going to lose your fitness. You can take 3 weeks off and really not lose your
right,
fitness.
Right.
And so you want to get to the start line or to the finish line. And the way to do that might be to pull back a little bit.
That's a huge one, Brett, because, you know, sometimes to take those 3 steps forward, you got to take 2 steps back, and that's a common question. Hey, I'm sick. I'm 3 weeks out from my race. I'm a month out from my race. I can't afford to take a day off. I'm like, listen, you've already put in the 15-mile day. You've already put in the 2-hour run. Like, you'll be fine without a week. I promise you. Make sure that your health is there. Make sure that you recover properly. And guess what? Mm-hmm. When you come back, you're going to come back just as strong as you were 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. There's this, I was at a cross country meet, an NCAA cross country meet last fall. And the girl who won the NCAA cross country championship won it on, a 10K distance running, less than 15 miles a week. Mm-hmm. She had gotten to a point where, like, if she went to higher mileage, she would get injured.
Yeah.
And so she pulled back on it. She had the base fitness. She did other things, cross training, diet, to maintain her fitness, and really went quality over quantity and was able to compete at a high level. And so if you take that and apply it to your everyday runner, if you're putting in the work and following a smart plan and you're listening to your body, you can achieve results without having to put in an excess work. You can't you can't go run extra days and make up for the fact that your body needs to recover. You know, mm-hmm.
Quality over quantity. Okay. I love hearing that. And you talk about the base, like the foundation, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you talked about something, you said something, it kind of clicked, man. A lot of people want to run out the front door and just go. Yeah. You know, and that's an analogy that I want to apply to the bigger picture, because people want to run out the front door and run right on to their first race. I'm running a half marathon. Man, you got to set up the strength. You got to set up the foundation before you can go and go out there and perform at an all-time mm-hmm. high. Hey, man, I really appreciate your time. I think honestly, we could do like a series of podcasts, because you're a guy that I enjoy talking to. You're a fresh breath of air, and I love hearing all the tips and tricks. Yep. So we will definitely do this again. Before we start wrapping this thing up, okay. if I'm looking for direct contact, I want to get a hold of you. First and foremost, how do I get a hold of you? Second, where can I find you? If I'm in the Charlotte area, where can I find you?
Yeah, it's a good question. I tend to float between our three stores. We have two stores in Charlotte and one in Fort Mill. So depending on the day of the week, I'm in one of those stores. You know, you can reach me on Instagram at Brett Albers, or, you know, even easier would be to reach me on the Fleet Feet Charlotte Instagram, which would be at Fleet Feet Charlotte. Mm-hmm. You could also hop on fleetfeetcharlotte.com and contact me through the contact us form on that page. But yeah, you know, stop by one of our stores, talk to me or one of my staff. They're all honestly much smarter than I am in a lot of ways. we're here as a resource for you in the Charlotte area. And if you're not in Charlotte, there's likely a Fleet Feet somewhere else near you. I highly recommend stopping in and getting to know those people. We've got close to 300 stores across the country. And so we can be a great resource for your runners, you know, trying to get the right gear. And I think one of the most intimidating things for a new runner is to walk into a new running store and just know that Fleet Feet is not a place where you're going to feel out of place. You can walk into a Fleet Feet as a newcomer, a new runner, and feel right at home. We're going to give you that sort of support and welcome you into the community.
Yeah. I'm going to talk to that real quick. And I know we're going to try to wrap things up, but yeah. Even somebody that's an experienced runner like myself, when I rolled up to see you that day in the Myers Park, that's what it is. Yeah. Myers Park location. Man, even I was intimidated. I'm somebody that's done half marathons, full marathons. I've done an Ironman. Like I've done it all, and I haven't done an ultra, but that's coming.
That's coming.
I was still intimidated. I was in the store, but I'll tell you what, man. I walked in there, and one of your workers walked right up to me and greeted me like I was Usain Bolt. Hey, how you doing? What can I do for you? You know, like they just they make you feel good. You know, she didn't know me from Adam, and obviously I saw you, and then I, you know, kind of migrated over to you, and then you made me feel like a million bucks too, and got me all hooked up. But I just appreciate your time, Brett, and we got to get hooked up, because in November we're gonna come down to visit you and make it a fun weekend. And
yeah, we are.
Hey, real quick, are you going to be available? Are you going to be running that event, or?
I'll be in town. I'm not sure. I haven't decided if I'm going to run the marathon yet, but I'll be there. I know. I probably should sign up. But now we've got a bunch of events and activations planned, including that shakeout run with you all. And the Charlotte Marathon Week is a big week for us. And so we're excited to welcome and host runners from all over the country and make them feel at home here in Charlotte. So,
I'm excited. Hey, at this point of the podcast, like I said, man, Dwayne is the master of all this, but I'm gonna do my best. So, at this segment of the podcast, I want to segue a little bit and ask you a fact about yourself. Okay. Did you know, or do you know, that very few people know, or maybe nobody knows about you? It could be funny. It could be deep. Whatever you're feeling.
You know, I'd say most people that know me or have interacted with me in this industry know that I've been around the running industry for a long time. You know, my dad was a sales rep for various shoe brands. My uncle was a shoe designer. And so I've been plugged into the running industry since I was like 5 years old, like a kid. And so the running industry has always been home to me. But, you know, it wasn't always my dream to work in running. And even though I ended up there and followed this path because it was something I was really passionate about. When I was in college, you know, my dream was to move to Los Angeles and be a screenwriter. I wanted to write movies and write TV shows. So I think when I graduated college, I was kind of faced with this choice of, do I want to uproot and move to Los Angeles and pursue that life? Or do I want to, you know, find something a little closer to home? And I'm grateful for the decision I made, the path I took, but that's something that I've always had a kind of a back of my mind of like, oh, what if I had taken that path, you know? But as a result, I'm passionate about creativity and that sort of stuff too. So
yeah, well, I mean, you're applying it every single day, and you're impacting a lot of lives, man. I mean,
that's right.
You took my run journey from here to here just by getting me in a pair of Carhu's, man. So shout out to Carhu, fun. Man. That's great stuff. Yeah. Hey, this is the segment that I'm gonna wrap it up. Okay. I just drop a quick motivational piece. Hey, this is your journey. Start running in your shoe, guys. I love you. hey, man, if you want to hit up Brett. You got his contact information. We'll drop that in the comments. You guys know how to contact me. That's another episode of the Bad Podcast. Appreciate you guys. We'll see you on the other side.